I do want to make a brief announcement. Next Sunday, immediately after service, we will be having a water baptism. We have children going to be baptized. We have an adult that's going to be baptized that I know of. And if you haven't contacted us, please do that. I'm going to ask you to rearrange your schedule next Sunday. And don't be in a hurry to get to the restaurant before everybody else. But to hang around in the air conditioning for a little bit. It won't take long, but immediately after the service, right outside under our awning, we have a portable baptistry we've been using since we launched the church, and we're going to be baptizing people immediately after the service. You can stay in here, and then you can come outside and be witness to their water baptism, celebrate with them, and that's next Sunday morning, immediately after the service. So I thank you that all of you are going to stay. I didn't hear a lot of amens, heard some giggling, but, you know, we can get some amens out of this. I'm going to unpack over today and next Sunday a two-part series that I've entitled Orison. Orison, defined, is a prayer. Now, the Oxford language defines a prayer as this: a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. Now, let's hit the pause button for a moment on this definition. We are really good at making our requests known on what we want. So what's about to come to you right now is not at the heart of this message. It's going to come to you free of charge. We need to spend more time giving thanks in our prayer time to God instead of always asking. How about shifting it a bit and begin to thank God before you ask for Him already providing what you're about to ask Him for? What about thanking God for what you asked Him for yesterday, today? What about just sitting down for a moment and listing everything that God has done for you and to forget about what your needs are for the moment and just thank God for all the times He met your need and give thanks? What about having a prayer that is a prayer of thanksgiving? Thanking God for doing something in your life. You know, you may be sitting there going, but what has God done for me lately? Well, maybe He hasn't done anything yesterday or the day before that, but I promise you He's done something. And that sometimes our prayer, our orison, needs to be a prayer of thanksgiving. So I'm going to encourage you that when you go to prayer next time, that you put your agenda aside and begin to list the things that you're so grateful for that God has done, down to the smallest thing. And if you'll begin to worship Him and thank Him for what He has done, you'll come out of that time excited and hopeful because you will have been in His presence. So that's not at the heart of my message. So that was free of charge. Good stuff. You need to take it home with you. R.A. Torrey said this: there are three reasons we should pray. One, because there is a devil. Two, as a way of obtaining things. And three, because it's part of the pattern God established for Christians. A part of the pattern that God established for Christians. Now, I could have added a lot more to his three on the list. In this two-part series, we're going to come to the table of prayer today and next Sunday. Before and since we've launched and planted North Elevation Church, I have strongly encouraged everyone to stop the excuses and to establish a regular rhythm and routine to a devotional life before God. A devotional life that has Bible study in it, Bible reading, journaling, whatever you feel the Lord is speaking to you, maybe journaling your prayers, prayer time, and worship time. That you carve out time for those four things. That you establish a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life. Why? It's simple. You must. I'm going to say it again. You must establish a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life. And every day that I wake up and things continue to change, the more real it is that the church has got to get back to a regular rhythm and routine to a devotional life and quitting letting life consume them. We got to get back to the table of prayer. In our devotional lives, sometimes, well, let me say it this way. Seems like most of the time in our devotional life, we find ourselves praying in the lagoon. Now, stay with me. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. It seems like in our devotional life that much of the time we are praying from the lagoon. Now, a lagoon is a body of water separated by barriers from larger bodies of water. In other words, the lagoon is isolated. Now, when I'm talking about praying from the lagoon, I am talking about this truth, something I have learned that I have penned that will be on the screen. Pin truth number one today. After a period of time, we find our orison coming from the lagoon. We feel isolated and standing alone. Now, you may have gotten on Facebook and you think 500 people that follow you are praying with you about what you ask them to pray for. Can I give you a revelation? Maybe one is, or two. We can have 10 people around us that we spend a lot of time with. We can ask them to pray for us, but isn't it amazing that when I get into my devotional time, I still feel alone in the prayer? I feel like I'm isolated, standing alone, the only one really, really praying about this situation. So most of the time, it seems like that when I'm in my devotional time, even though I've told other people to pray with me or I've encouraged them to pray with me during this season, I still go into the time feeling like I'm standing alone. Anybody been there? You feel like you're standing alone in what you're believing for. You feel isolated. You're praying from the lagoon. Now, Luke pins something of great importance. And he says in chapter 11, verse 10, for everyone, let me say that again, for everyone who asks receives. Ask today, tomorrow, the next day, will receive. Everyone. See, right there, we got to stop and ask ourselves, do I believe God's word? Do I believe that means everyone, including me, or just you? I know God will do it for you, but will He do it for me? The Scripture says, everyone who asks will what? Receive. Do you believe that? It's important that you believe that. Everyone means everyone. Then he pins, and the one who seeks finds. You need to have a regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life, seeking the face of God. And the Bible tells me that if I will seek, I will what? Find. I just don't know where God is. Well, when was the last time you spent time with God? Oh, I don't know, about 4 months ago. Are we seeking regularly for the face of God in His presence? Just asking. The Bible tells me that if I will seek, I will what? I will find. Do I believe that? Then he finishes off pinning, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. To the one who knocks, it will be open. I'm going to share a story in a moment that will clear up the importance of not knocking just once. When I read this verse of Scripture, there are two words that explode off the pages of the Bible. And that is endurance and perseverance. It takes endurance and perseverance. Seeking, you need to persevere because there's going to be things happening in your life that won't stop you from what? Seeking. You're going to have to endure while you're knocking, because there's going to be things that want to rob you of your strength where you stop knocking. You're going to have to endure and persevere, because there's going to be times when the deceiver, Satan, is trying to drain you completely to where you should begin to believe that God won't meet this need for me. He only does it for others. It takes endurance and perseverance when it comes to asking, seeking, and knocking. Endurance and perseverance. Now, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus, he tells a very interesting story about prayer. Shares a story about a man who goes to his neighbor at midnight to ask for bread. I know some of you well enough to hear that I wouldn't even show up at midnight to ask you for bread. And Jesus tells this interesting story about prayer about this man. Now, I want you to imagine for just a few minutes here that you're that person who's going to go ask for bread at midnight. Our culture has changed so much, I don't know any of us would knock on anybody's door at midnight. But just imagine this is you. You're about halfway across your lawn and you're still wondering, should I really do this? It is midnight. Am I really going to go over here and ask for some bread? By that time, you're already in his yard, on his sidewalk. And the next thing you know, you're standing on the porch. You look around and you notice there's no doorbell. So you knock on the door. You wait a little bit, but you don't hear anything. There's no response. So you kind of lean into the door the next time. And you wait a little while. No response. Part of you is saying, hey, dummy, go home. It's midnight. What do you think you're doing? He's not going to come to the door. I'm telling you, that's how the enemy tells you about your Heavenly Father who loves you, that he's not going to come answer the door. And he will. So, you drum up the courage. This time, you turn your fist around and you bang on the door. And about the time you've hit it for the last time, you think, I just made a huge mistake because you just woke up his bulldog. And he's barking crazily. And that dog already doesn't like you. So you bang on that door, you're standing there, and all of a sudden you hear mumbling and someone stumbling. And now you hear somebody grumbling, and you can hear the dog's bark getting closer and closer to the door. You're more and more wondering, should I have banged on this door three times at midnight? All of a sudden, you're startled because the porch light comes on. The door opens up, and there's Bill in his vintage PJs and some of the worst bed hair you've ever seen in your life. You don't say it out loud, but you're thinking, is this really Bill? Doesn't look like Bill. And Bill barks back with the dog barking and says, what are you doing here on my front porch at midnight? So you take a step back and you say, well, I've had a really good friend has showed up tonight and I don't have any food to feed them and they're hungry. You pause, you think that Bill's going to have sympathy and say, well, come right on in. Bill doesn't come in. He moans real loud and says, you woke me up for some food? But now, you're going to press in. You're going to persevere. You're going to have a mind to endure his pushback. And you're going to step forward one step, and you're going to say, Bill, I really need some food for my friend because they haven't eaten. Could you give me some food? No response from Bill. So you step a little bit closer to Bill and you say, Bill, I'm asking you for some food for my friend so that they will not go to bed hungry. Still no response out of Bill. And the dog's still barking. And so now you reach out and you touch Bill and you say, Bill, I'm asking you for some food for my friend. Bill sighs real loud and says, well, come on in. I'm going to give you some food. The reason he gets what he came and asked for is because he kept on knocking and he kept on asking and he kept on seeking for the food. In the face of, now think about this, in the face of a neighbor who's thinking, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And the bulldog's already mad at you because you got the leftovers he thought was his. But you press in because your friend is hungry. You press in against what you see, and you keep your focus on the prize. And you keep knocking, you keep asking, you keep seeking. Jesus tells another story in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. Verse 4. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Every time I read that, I'm thinking, am I coming and asking God with any real energy, or am I just coming in and going, I hope you might do this? Why don't we come in boldly to the throne of God of grace and ask with boldness, believing I'm going to get justice? That's what she did. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. We don't know how long she did this. In some translations, it seems pretty long. It probably was. She was taking a huge risk in that culture, in that time, to keep pressing the king. He could have killed her. But she kept pressing in. And it doesn't say anybody was standing with her. She is making her petition to the king in the lagoon of life. She kept knocking. She kept asking. She kept seeking. She kept her eyes on the prize. And she received. At the risk, study in that culture, at the risk of the king saying, take her out. And you have a king who will never say, take them out. He's going to say, give them what they're asking for. But we've got to press in. We've got to endure. We've got to persevere. We can't give up. You're sitting in a place because people refused to stop persevering and enduring and keeping their eyes on the promise and standing in their regular routine and rhythm of life of prayer, saying, I refuse to give up. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep asking. We're going to keep seeking. We don't know how God's going to do it, but I believe that God will give us what's on the other side of the door. Where are you in standing firm and pressing forward, enduring, persevering, because your Father will give you what you desire? Don't give up. You have to persevere through some things. You must never give up or give in. Never. But you don't understand what's going on. I don't, but I'll say it again. Never give up or give in. You must keep on knocking. You must. You must keep on knocking. You must keep on pushing. Even when you feel like you're alone in your pursuit of what's on the other side of the door. Well, Pastor, I bet you've got people everywhere that when you put a call out to prayer, they'll start praying. There's times I do that, but in the same season of time that I do that, I go into my devotional time and I do feel like I'm in the lagoon, standing alone. And what becomes the key of the moment is, will I persevere? Will I endure? Will I keep asking? Will I keep seeking? Will I keep knocking? Well, it hasn't changed yet. Keep knocking. It's going the other direction. Keep asking. I don't understand what's going on. Keep seeking. Anybody getting this? No matter what, you keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. Your key is to persevere and to walk with endurance. Not in my notes. Come on, Holy Ghost. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Quit speaking negative words. Speak faith-filled words. But you don't know what they told me. I don't care what they told you. You can shift that by speaking faith-filled words. It's healthier. It's healthier than speaking negative. It's healthier. But what if it doesn't change? I don't care. It's still healthier. It's healthier. As you pursue what's on the other side of the door, the answer to your orison, I'm going to give you something else that I've learned. Knocking means endurance when you study it out. To keep knocking is to say that I will endure this season until I get what's on the other side of the door. I refuse to stop knocking. And for some of you, you need to quit doing this and start, which means 5 minutes every morning is not enough. Or once a week. How about all day long, every time it comes to your mind, declaring faith-filled words to your request? Pen truth number two, and for our guests, the pen truth when I put these down, are lessons I've learned or revelations God has given me. And pen truth number two is endurance is the resilient virtue. The resilient virtue. Let me define resilience. The process of adapting well in the face of adversity, or even tragedy, or significant sources of stress. Sound like our world? You cannot let it get you off your knees. Matter of fact, we should be falling on our knees more. We need to be falling on our knees more. We need to be coming to the table of prayer more. Endurance from the King James Dictionary says a bearing or suffering, a continuing under pain or distress without sinking or yielding to the pressure. I want to go into the definition where it says to last, to continue in the same state without perishing, to remain, to abide, to bear, to brook, again, without yielding. Don't give up. And if you've allowed life to break your regular rhythm and routine of a devotional life, then change the life around you and focus on what's most important, time with the Father. Time with the Father. Endurance is the key to your orison in the lagoon. When you find yourself feeling like I'm all alone in this pursuit of what I'm requesting from God in the lagoon, endurance is the key to you getting through to the other side. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have courage not to quit. And there's a secret in all of this, and it's to look beyond the door start seeing what's on the other side and take your eyes off of what's around you right now. A secret is to look beyond to the other side of the door and take your eyes off your present situation. To see the future beyond the door. You're going to have to begin to see with eyes of faith. And as you're knocking on that door, you need to become consumed. Consumed in the invisible more than you are consumed with the visible. Do you see it? Are you consumed with it? Are you more consumed with what is visible so you don't even try to see what's promised? Faith to make the unseen real. Are you with me? Let me say it this way. Place the unseen far above the seen. What is your orison? What is your prayer? Are you consumed with the orison, your prayer, and what you're praying for? Or are you just praying words and you're consumed with what surrounds you? Are we just doing it out of duty because that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, and I'm not really putting faith in it, I'm just kind of going through the motions? Or am I getting up and remembering that that's what I want? And so if that's what I want, then I'm going to have to keep asking. I'm going to have to keep seeking. I'm going to have to keep knocking. I'm going to have to persevere. I'm going to have to endure stuff because God said I can have it. And there is an enemy out there trying to keep you from your promises. And he'll use everything around you to pull you down, to keep you off your knees. pursuing your orison. My final statement this morning is this: are you close to quitting on your prayer, your orison? Don't do it. Hang in there. Roll up your sleeves and get back in there. So don't quit. Never give up. Keep going. Hold on. God's rewards await us. They await us. You may have felt like you've been standing alone in the lagoon. Maybe today you realize I've got to take a new step forward and re-engage a regular rhythm and routine in my prayer life. I'm just going to be real honest with you. A lot of things are not changing as they should because the church is not on its knees enough. We need to be pursuing the face of God. We need to be asking God for the impossible. We should be knocking on doors that have four deadbolts on them, believing God is going to open that door from the other side. He's going to flip on the porch light. He's going to open that door and say, "Hello, son. It's so good you're here. Come on in. I've got more food than you even prayed for." But this morning, you don't have to stand in the lagoon anymore. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up. And this morning, you're going to have the opportunity to get in agreement with someone. And please do not sit there today when you are in need of someone agreeing with you for your orison. The Bible talks about the power of agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, I'm going to read from the Amplified. "And again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." The prayer of agreement, where two or more come together in agreement. I know this prayer team. This is a safe harbor, a safe place. And they've been praying for today. And they're going to get in connection with you immediately and begin to pray for you. And they won't just pray today. I know them well enough, they're going to pray tomorrow too. And probably the next day and the day after that. So I'm going to ask you, you need someone to pray with you in agreement for your orison, you need to stand up, come forward, and get in agreement with them, and let them get in agreement with you in prayer. So would everyone stand up? I see we got one motoring himself down here. You might as well follow him. I strongly plead with you, don't sit there if you have. You need the prayer of agreement about something. Family, kids, work, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is, come. We have more of our prayer team that will come down. If we have more. Would you pray for those that are down here right now? Rochelle. You may be seated if you're not coming forward. But don't leave. Be in prayer for those that are here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I have more of the prayer teams coming down now. Princes are coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. God's doing a work. Hallelujah. Angela, talk over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. They're praying for those down here. I'm going to pray for everyone who's out there. If you have a need, just slip your hand up and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you're renewing their steps to their devotional life. I thank you, Father, that you're helping them set aside the excuses, planting their feet down and saying, enough's enough. The other stuff can wait. I need time with you. I thank you, Father, that you're helping them, even in this moment, showing them how they're going to do that. Lord God, I thank you for those who have a need that they are silently bringing before you right now in this place, that God, you're hearing their orison. And God, as they press forward, as they keep knocking this morning, they keep asking and they keep seeking, that Father, the door shall be open to them in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you worship from our lips. We praise you. We glorify you. We declare that you're the Lion of Judah. You're the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you are worthy of our praise. And we praise you today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.